Good to be here.
Taylor was talking about last night. I wasn't planning to mention last night. We had Brother Don Notamont, Brother Don Kleinex, and Chuck, and also Stevie. Stevie did get to lay down a few minutes over the morning on the sofa and doze off, but the other, those two, along with Stevie, was up with me all night last night trying to get something done. And, of course, there just wasn't no way to get it done yesterday nor last night. It took over into the day today to be able to get it done. We just had to stay with it till we got it done. That's the only way I know to do it. When the devil locks in, he's just going to be there. And if you leave, he won't leave, and if you don't leave, he will leave. But it takes him a long time to make up his mind that you're not going to leave. So in staying there, we just had to stay there till the job was done. Some of the others also stayed with us late, and then they, as they had to go on their way, afterwards we just had to finish what we was doing. But we got the job done. That's what's important. I thought about not mentioning it because some of them get to where they don't understand. You know, if you stay up all night, then you stay up all night, then you stay up all night. They don't understand. They just don't understand. And just thought, well, I just won't mention it. That way there won't be no confusion about it. There just isn't enough hours in the day to do the job, that's all. It's like I was telling Stevie sometimes over in the morning, and Chuck, I said, you know, I don't delight in doing this only in the Lord, in the sense that I know that it's pressure on some of them that come and stay all night or work with me, and I occasionally have people to do that. And I said, I understand. But on the other hand, I said, I just don't find enough hours in the day to get the job done. I said, and I don't find enough hours in the night. I just don't find enough hours in the day nor the night to get the job done. Maybe you can, and that's, you know, if you can, that's good, but it takes day and night to get the job done. But I thank God for his blessings because he does help us to get the job done. We have people that occasionally drop in and they stay with us, maybe some tonight. Maybe somebody else the next night, but they stay with us till we get the job done. And I thank the Lord for it. Whether it's here, whether it's down at the boat, or wherever it's at, some of them didn't understand us having to stay all night just before we went down to Mexico when we was trying to get the boat done, but I didn't know of any other way to do it. We tried numbers of ways and it wouldn't work, so the devil just wasn't going to give up. But when we made up our mind we were going to stay, if it took all night, all day, and all the next day, and whenever, which we've had to do that, then he left. He didn't give us no more problem. He just left. Devil, he don't want to stay with you that long. You know, he'll keep you company, but you know, he sees you doing those things, and he thinks, well, this fella or these people are crazy. I'm quitting off, and he'll quit off. That's why Jesus tarried all night in prayer, because he had to get the job done. And that's the only way to get the job done. Like a song we wrote one time, all the things we make mention of, the song says that won't get the job done. It's good to be here. It's good to feel the wonderful presence of God and to know that Jesus is still with us. We're not making the progress that I'd like to make, but we're making some progress, and the Lord is blessing us. And while we are trying to do a little bit on this end, there are other brethren that are trying to do things on the other end. As a matter of fact, there was some of the brethren that were supposed to go down to the boat this week, and they didn't get to leave yesterday or day before yesterday as they had planned. But I understand that Brother Ward, he and maybe his wife was down. Or they were down, some of them was down to the boat for a few days, which I really appreciate. I appreciate Brother Ward and them. I appreciate the brethren that have gone down from time to time and worked with us. I really thank the Lord for them. As a matter of fact, Doyle, he works down there and he tries to help here. As a matter of fact, he just sent about a $70 offering up here to the brethren. God's been blessing him on that end. And Doyle, he don't have any expense. He stays in the boat and he'll eat crackers all day long. I mean, he, rather than fix a meal, he just kind of eats whatever comes to hand. And he always keeps a little money in the bank from working and just buys whatever he has to buy whenever. And he shares money with the brethren on the home front, which is a great thing. And it is wonderful that people are willing to do those things, to share their substance with you and I, and their time with you and I. This is a wonderful thing. And I appreciate you being here. I'm glad to have Brother Charles and his wife here. The different ones, glad to have Brother Ward here tonight. Appreciate him being here with us. See Brother Mike up here, and do I know this Brother Mike? Well, I thought I ought to know him. It's good to have Frank here with us. I understand that he lives in this area now. Certainly glad to have him here with us. I understand God's really been blessing them in the straw business and that they are stretching out in Florida and over South Georgia and a number of other places that they have operations or big operations in their business. I remember telling Scotty when he was here before, real active in the church, he was giving. I remember telling him that God was going to bless him financially because of his attitude. You know, it's not always your giving that brings a blessing. That doesn't always bring a blessing. A lot of people give, but they never really get a blessing. God does restore and reward, but they don't really get a blessing. But it's your attitude. Scotty had such a wonderful attitude, whereas he still... till today, he still sends support here to Little Bethlehem and helps us support the widows and the orphans or those that are in need. He told me yesterday he had hauled some steel for me on his truck. He was telling me that the Lord had blessed him with, I don't know, maybe $140,000 or maybe better this year. And God had been good to him. He was telling me, he said, you know, Brother Pike, said, you said something that really stuck with me. And that is, you made the statement one time, said, you know, said a fellow's not even a real human being if he can't help feed a hungry child. Or if a man or woman can't help take care of the hunger, that they're not even real human beings. That they're just beasts. And he said, you know, so that stuck with me. He said he believed that. Whereas that is true, Jesus, or that is through the ministry, the statement was made by the Spirit of the Lord that a man that won't provide for his own has denied the faith and he is worse than an infidel. That even an infidel will feed his own hungry, you know. And you couldn't imagine somebody not giving bread to the hungry and especially their own children. So Jesus called even a religious person that won't feed the little orphans and the widows, he called them worse than an infidel. Even an infidel will do that. But it takes brute beast, as the Bible terms them, not to share with the hungry. So you don't have to really be a Christian to share with the hungry. Just know that a little boy's hungry or a little girl's hungry, and let them go day after day and year after year while you and I eat and while we make money. While you just think, there ain't nothing I know of you could do to bring the wrath of God upon you quicker than that. That will bring the wrath of God upon you quicker than anything. It's bad enough not to pray for them. You know, we're commanded as priests of God to pray for them that are without, that God might grant repentance unto them, because they can't even have eternal life if we don't intercede, because the Bible teaches that God heareth not a sinner. And we're the royal priesthood. that make intercession in the time of the absence of our Savior. The great Holy Spirit working through us, pleading the cause that God might take up time with them. And how much more, see, should we have our responsibility of undefiled and pure religion? Pure and undefiled religion is not going to church, not belonging to a church, not making a confession of faith. That has nothing to do with it at all. Those things just automatically come out of the nature of Christ if you've been born again. You just automatically do that, just like an apple tree, if it's in good shape. It automatically bears apples because it has a nature to do those things. But it has nothing to do with your salvation and being born again. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is that your nature is to visit the widows and the orphans and their afflictions and keep yourselves unspotted from the world. And if you don't do that, if you're spotted by the world, you are not a Christian, because you're commanded to come out from among them and be a separate people. And if you're not feeding the hungry, then you also are not a Christian. Because pure and undefiled religion before God is to do just exactly that. That's what the nature of Christ does in a person. He gives himself completely and totally, altogether, for the needy. So if the nature's in you, you'll be about your Father's business. And that is the nature that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It did that while it dwelt in the body of Jesus. It'll do that while it dwells in your body and my body. It will take your body to Calvary for the sake of Christ. People that draw back from that, the Bible said, speaking of God, that my soul shall have no pleasure in them. So we see the desperation and the need. And I thank God for those that are here and those that are around the world that do just exactly that. Spend your time laboring, that's good. To labor, not to have, to store up, not to have conveniences. Laboring not to provide for the desire of your human person, which the Bible calls the lust of the flesh. But rather laboring that you might have to give, and that to the needy. As it is written, he that gathered much had nothing left over, and he that gathered little had no lack. So then our abundance makes up for the man that doesn't have anything, and we don't have anything left over to put in the bank, and to provide for our own human desire, personal advantage. The man that gathered little, he didn't make enough to put in the bank. Being dependent upon our surplus, in a unionized effort, we evangelize the world by faith in Jesus Christ. So I thank God for his wonderful blessings. And if you are doing that, then you're on your way to heaven. And if you're not doing that, then there's no possible way that you can get into the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter what you do. There is no possible way. Now, there's a lot to talk about. Been talking about it for a long time now, and still there's a lot of talking to be brought forth. Let's read from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9. For a few services we've been getting into a little revelation. The attitude of the people have changed, And their hunger and their thirst has changed. And we've been getting to a little revelation. Reading from chapter 9. You know, you can come and hear the word of God, but coming to hear the word of God really doesn't mean that you have gotten into the real program of God. The Bible said, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For not the hearer of the word shall be saved, but the Bible said the doer of the word, that is, he that doeth what the word says, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Whatever the word says do, like the mother said down at the feast of the Cana of Galilee, whatever he says do, do it. If he says something to you, well, just do it. And so then, doing the Word of God is the thing that we must acknowledge. You know, he made the statement in one place, he that overcometh, I will give to him to eat of the hidden manna, he that overcometh. Not every one that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he that overcometh. Not just anybody will receive the hidden manna, but he that overcometh. You know, Jesus, a lot of times, he would literally astound people. They'd say, well, you've not eaten, you know. You have to have something to eat. He said, well, I've got meat to eat that, you know, you've never discovered. You're not acquainted with it yet. Meat to eat that you know not of. My meat is to finish the will of my Father and to do that which he has sent me to do. And he had the hidden manna. He was an overcomer, so he had the hidden manna. And he that overcometh, not he that confesseth Christianity, not he that is joined with the believers, but he that overcometh. And we say, overcome what? The Bible said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He that overcometh the world through Jesus Christ and the strength of the Lord and believing in the wonderful things of God. He that overcometh the enticements of these things that are out in the world. He that overcometh the ambitions to have a place in the world and to have a position in the world and to have convenience. These things of the world. He that overcometh, he that seeketh to save his life in this world by worldly advantages, the Bible said he shall lose his life in the world to come. But he that loseth his life or the worldly advantages as to his own benefit in this world, the Bible said, and that for Christ's sake, he shall gain his life in the world to come, and that unto eternal life. So then, like the song says, take a little time for Jesus, for he took a little time for you. It's just reasonable to think that we ought to take all of our time for Jesus, in that he says, if we give our body a living sacrifice daily just to do his will, giving him a chance to add the necessities of life, which he so graciously does, that if we do this, it's just a reasonable service considering the fact of what he did in our behalf. So then, let's read in chapter 9 of the book of Jeremiah. Chapter 9, the first verse, oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they be all adulterers and an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. And they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Though through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them, for how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he layeth his weight. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? For this mountain will I take up a weeping and wailing, and for the habitation of the wilderness, a lamentation, because they are burned up, so that none can pass through them. Neither can men hear the voice of the cattle. Both the fowl of the heavens and the beast are fled. They are gone, and I will make Jerusalem heaps and a den of dragons, and I will make the cities of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. Who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord hath spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perisheth and is burned up like a wilderness that none passeth through. And the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Baal, which their fathers taught them. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known. And I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider ye, and call for the mourning women, that they may come, and send for cunning women, that they may come, and let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears, and our eyelids gush out with waters. For a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion. How are we spoiled? We are greatly confounded, because we have forsaken the land, because our dwellings have cast us out. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, and every one her neighbor lamentation. For death is come up into our windows, and is entered into our palaces, to cut off the children from without, and the young men from the streets. Speak, thus saith the Lord, even the carcass of men shall fall as dung upon the open field, and as the handful after the harvest man, and none shall gather them. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcision, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. Now, I'd like for you to especially take notice to what the prophet said here. The 14th verse, he said, they all walk after the imagination of their heart. He says here concerning Israel, and Israel pointing to the people of today, what I send and want to send all. He says here to Israel that they're all adulterers. They're not valiant. They're not ready to do truth or speak truth. But they are wise to do evil, he says. They all walk after their own desire. He said, for this I will feed them wormwood and give them water of gall to drink. Whereas that is one of the curses that will come upon Israel and upon the people in the book of Revelation. It's spoken of that at the time of tribulation this will happen. So he tells us here that the godly women that mourn, the women of lamentation, women like the great women of old, some that never departed from the house of God day and night. They just mourned before God and prayed all the time, day and night. He said, let those women come forth. Let them begin to mourn that God will have mercy. Like the beast around the throne that says, holy, 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 day and night. They never stop. 24 hours, as we would say, around the clock. They say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, holy, 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 day and night around the clock. They never stop. That is to say, in that city there is no night. They continually, without giving out a strength, say, holy, 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 holy. That's going to make it look mighty bad, you know, when we stand before God and we don't even have time to pray. We don't have time to be holy, as the Bible says, whereas the Bible tells us to take time from our busy schedule to be holy. We don't even have time to do that. But then when we stand before God, and there, as we stand there being judged, those voices will be saying, holy, 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 holy. And the Bible said everything in heaven and earth, everything underneath the earth, Everything will be saying, Lord God Almighty, blessed and holy and righteous art thou to receive wisdom and power and riches and majesty. Thou alone, O Lord, art worthy to open the book. Now, I'll tell you what this reminds me of, and I hope you don't mind me taking off my coat. It's warm up here. What it reminds me of is when we walk the streets of Jerusalem, there when we were going up the street of Dolorosa, and we were prophesying while Betty and I was over in Jerusalem. The night before, you've heard me relate how that standing there the night before, standing on the little balcony where we were staying, looking out over Jerusalem, I heard a voice say, Sodom and Gomorrah. And there I was standing, waiting to lift up my hands over in the morning while everybody was asleep. Having got up to talk to the Lord, I was waiting with my hands outstretched like this, waiting to bless Jerusalem. And there I stood with my hands out like this, and my heart was just enlarged to bless Jerusalem. If you love Jerusalem, God will look, you know, and he'll look at you, and he'll bless you if you are concerned about Jerusalem and his people. That is, if you bless Jacob, you'll be blessed. If you curse Israel or Jacob, you'll be cursed. And I was standing there, and I was looking out over Jerusalem, and I thought, my God, how wonderful, how beautiful is the city over in the morning, or in the moonlight, is stretched out before me. And Lord, here lies the city, and here is the wonderful people of God out here before me. See, and as I stretched out my hand, I heard a voice say, Sodom and Gomorrah, I'll lay her even with the ground. And it was shocking to me. And then I heard a scripture. It come ringing to my ears as I heard the Spirit speak. And it took me to the book of Revelation, with that I'm familiar. And it says, the city, I heard it repeat the scripture. It said, and the city that is spiritually called Sodom, wherein our Lord was crucified. And I stood there trying to get my bearings, and then the Lord spoke to me. And the next morning, we went into the city of Jerusalem, and there up the street of Dolorosa, as we walked the street where Jesus dragged the cross, we prophesied aloud, screaming to the top of our voice, thus saith the Lord, as we walked the street. See, because it was as the prophet was in the days of Jeremiah, he looked on Israel and he looked to bless Israel and he came to bless Israel. But instead of being able to bless Israel, there he looked at Israel. And when he saw Israel, he said, all are adulterers, all are liars. None of you love the truth. None of you want to stand for what's right. See, that's the condition of the church today. The church today is becoming the same way. The church world, all of them are becoming liars. And they're becoming people that want to cheat and swindle. And they just want to be denominational. And they just want to say, well, I belong to this church and you belong to that church. See, and they've gotten clear away from the life of the forefathers. And they've gotten clear away from the way of the people that established our nation. And they're not at all like the people that came here that pooled their wealth. You know, that is in the early history of the nation. Those that pool their wealth to be able to establish us a nation and an economy to where we could thrive and survive from the crisis of the evil ones. They're not at all like that. Rather than wanting to give their wealth, as the early leaders did, to establish a government, they're gullible and they want to take their wealth and they want to hoard their wealth. And they want to connive and conspire against everybody else as to how to get their money and their wealth through the powers of lawyers and judges and depraved people, cunning people. They want to figure out how to take their wealth away from them. And in taking their wealth, add it to their own wealth, and let the other people go lacking or go hungry while they, in their spiritual ignorance, and Paul said, I would not have you ignorant, in their ignorance, pile up their own wealth. And that against their own soul. For the Bible said there'll come a day when they'll throw it to the bats and scream
for the rocks of the mountains to fall upon them, to hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne as he breaks the heavens and as he comes back into this world. See, that hour is coming. That time is going to come in spite of all that I can do or you can do. That hour and that time is close at hand. It's coming. See, thus saith the Lord, the prophet said, there's a judgment coming, Israel, and God is going to put Jacob through the fire, and he's going to teach him better than that. And so then right now, the Jews are waiting to go through the tribulation period. And our visitation over into Israel had to do with this. They're waiting to go through the tribulation period. Why? Because he said, I will make Jacob to pass through the fire, because Jacob did not honor the Lord the way that he was supposed to honor the Lord. God made him rich, picked him up out of Egypt, took him over into Canaan, and gave them all of the wealth that they wanted and fed them to the full, just as he has America. This place that we call the New World, God fed them to the full, and then God told them, said, now Joshua is going to take you into Canaan, and I'm going to call my servant Moses, and said, beware lest this come to pass in your life, that after I have taken you into Canaan, and I have fed you to the full, and I have given you your heart's desire, you beware, God said, lest after that you have all that you need in the natural, or being fed to the full, that you turn and say, who is God that I should honor God? Who is God that I should obey God? He said, beware lest this come upon you. Once I've fed you to the full, America, once I've delivered you from your enemies, once I've taken you from the old way of life and brought you to the new things of God, when you are full and you have all of your conveniences, when you have your homes and your vehicles to drive, when you have everything that God has blessed you with, beware lest you do like the great king of Babylon, walk around and say, whose is this? Look what my hands have done. Look at these things that I've accomplished. Beware, America, lest you look at the big colleges and the schools and the beautiful parks and all of these things and say, look what we have done through our ability and our educational system, and look what we have done with the great power and wealth that we've accumulated while the rest of the world is ignorant. Look at us. And I hear that so often. I hear people of America refer to the other countries as being heathens and being ignorant. But I want you to know, in going into those countries, I find out that some of the most brilliant men that is anywhere to be found are in what you refer to as heathen countries. They're brilliant. I mean real brilliant. Far excel many of the people of America that feel that they are brilliant. You know, suffering causes people to mature. Did you know that? Take a person that suffers and they'll mature fast. Take a child that doesn't go through any suffering and he doesn't know too much about discipline. But you let a person suffer and they mature fast. A lot of those people over there, through their severe suffering, they have matured fast. And they are far advanced above some of the people here. So then God says, proud America, I don't delight in you anymore. I don't delight in you anymore because there's no place for me in your heart. You walk after the imagination of your heart. The proud people of the great countries across the world, there is no place for me in your heart. You walk after the imagination of your own way of life. And I don't have any pleasure in those things, God said to the prophet. He said, go tell these people, thus saith the Lord. I don't have any pleasure in people that do that. I don't have any pleasure in nations that accredit to their own self their ability and their glory. And that they take all of the glory to their own self. I don't have any pleasure in those kind of people. I don't have any part in their life. He said, go and tell them, I have pleasure in people that glorieth in the Lord. Paul said, if I glory, I will glory in the Lord. I will boast in the Lord. I will praise the Lord. And David said, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. So then God takes pleasure in those that glory in the Lord, that spend their time either on the home front or abroad in world concern and world evangelism as to the behalf of those who are not able to take care of themselves and those who have never heard about this wonderful Christ that we speak of. So then God so graciously blesses those that glory in the Lord. God so graciously blesses and supplies all of the needs abundantly of those that love Jesus and those that are laboring that they might have to give to support the weak and the needy. God takes pleasure in those that spend their time in divine meditation of the Word of God and in being concerned as to the betterment of their lives toward God and toward humanity. So then this is the pleasure of God. This is the glory of God to find people that do those things. He said, but if you take glory to yourself and your credit to yourself, all the glory in the sense of accomplishment through life, and if nobody can get you to give glory to God and realize that God hath done all things and it is God that upholdeth all things and that it is not some coincidental thing that's taken place in your life. It's not just something whereas you happen to luck up on it. It is not something that just come from any old place, or that is, it just happened to be because you were so intelligent or you had special ability or you was born different from somebody else. That is not why good things has happened to us. That is not why good things will happen to us. Good things happen to us because of the grace of God. And good things come our way because God loves them that love Him, and God cares for those that care for Him. Now, I know we can meet with great dispute. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, God loves everybody. I know that God loves everybody in the sense that the rain is on the just and the unjust. And I know that God loves everybody in that God created everybody to give life to prove that He loved everybody. I know that God loves everybody in the sense of grace and opportunity. God loves everybody. But I tell you in the name of the Lord, God does not love everybody when it comes to the love of God that goes beyond the blood of His Son to love. He doesn't do that. He only loves those that will conform to the way of life that He has commanded them to conform to. God only loves those that are willing to follow after Him. When it comes to a temporal love, God loves you, God loves me, God loves everybody, in that God made it possible so that He could love everybody by pouring out of His Spirit upon us. But on the other hand, when we speak of love, lingering, lasting, eternal affection, love that will continue, that comes from God, God does not love the wicked. To the contrary, the Bible said that God is angry with the wicked every day. There is not a day that goes by but what God is angry with you if you are wicked. There is not a day that passes but what God hates your very image. He said, I will hate your image at the dawning. Or at the morning, the awakening, I will hate your image because it is a bastard child image. It is not born of the Holy Spirit. It is not born of the name Jesus. It is not born of the gospel. It is a bastard image. And that bastard image comes from the beast and it comes from the devil himself. God said, I will hate you in the morning. I will hate your image. So then, God does not love the wicked in the way that people think. He does not care for them that are contrary to Him. To the contrary, He said, if you walk contrary to me, I'll walk contrary to you. And the Bible said, beware ye that forget me, I'll tear you into pieces. So then, we see by this that God is not at all the way that we have Him in our thinking. He said, you walk after the imagination of your heart. That's what's wrong with you. He said, you don't understand God, and you don't understand my way of life and my desire. And He said, you walk after the imagination of your heart. That is, you have indoctrinated yourself, not with what God has said, not with what the ministry has brought forth, but you have indoctrinated yourself with your own ideas about it. You have done what you felt was right about it. And every man has gone to his own way. He said, now I suffered that. Back before the law ever came, I suffered that. I let every man walk in his own way. The Bible tells us that God did that. But he says, I command all men to repent. Every person to repent. I command the king to repent. I command the president to repent. I command all people to repent. God said, there's no exception All people are alike in my sight. Big, little, rich, or poor, whatever they are, I am God. I command that they repent. So on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached and said, repent. And the Bible said he commanded those people to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. I say this so often, we use the term sovereignty, and we do have a sovereignty to do what we want to do, and I'm glad because that's the way God wants it. But we say a sovereignty, I can do what I want to, Brother Pike. Whenever I get ready, I can do what I want to. I've said this a lot of times, if sovereignty of doing what one will means that you're going to go to hell if you don't straighten up, to me that's not much sovereignty. That's the way I see it. That's not much sovereignty. You know, a man says, Brother Pike, the bridge is out at the bottom of the hill. You're going to go into the river. I say, I've got my own sovereignty. I can drive down there if I want to. I say, well, the man says, okay, Brother Pike, if you feel that way about it, you know, you have got your own sovereignty. But I tell you, if you're going down that hill, you better approach kind of slow. Because you're going to get the shock of your life. I've got my sovereignty. Don't tell me what to do. I know what I'm doing. I can drive this car and off in the... Well, if you've never run off in the creek like I have, you wouldn't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, down the hill and off into the creek. I told my wife one day, I said, Betty, I don't think we ought to do this. She said, I want Ricky to drive. Ricky wants to drive. I said, all right, but I don't think we ought to do this. I want him to drive. He's upset. I said, all right, Betty. So I put him off the wheel, under the wheel. And it wasn't but a little while God put him off the wheel. And me and Betty was down on the bridge and off the bridge and down into the creek with our nose of the car down this way and the wheels up on the bridge this way and the door open over here and Rick laying out there on the bank somewhere. And the rest of us piled head over heels into the dash, you know. Told her, I said, I didn't think we were supposed to do that. But anyway, God was gracious enough to take care of us. But see, this is what I'm saying. If the Lord speaks to me and I fail to answer him, which he's done that many times, and I failed him and I got into serious trouble, and so has Betty, so has my family. But if God tells us something in his word, beloved friend, you've got to do it. I've got to do it. There ain't no way to get around it. If God says repent, then what does God mean? If God says to Brother Fontaine, he says, Brother Fontaine, I want you to repent. What does God mean? Now, Brother Fontaine could say, well, I don't know about this repenting thing. There's another way to do this. I've heard about a better way. So Brother Fontaine takes a different route. How does God feel about that? You know, the policeman says, look, sir, are you acquainted with this state, this city? No, he said, well, in this city we drive 45 miles an hour. So he leaves. I say, oh, what's that? You know, 45 miles an hour, my car will do 65 miles an hour. And then where am I at? See, if that policeman catches me, or if there's another policeman that's in that brotherhood and he radios back, I am in trouble. When that policeman says, you know, there's a car doing 65 miles an hour and the tag number is such and such. He says, aha, that's the fella right there. I told him not to do that, and then he's in trouble. So see, this is where we're standing right now. We are, as a people throughout the world, in trouble with God because we've walked after the imagination of our own heart and we've done what we thought would work. And because we make a little money or we get a little prestige or we have a little ability or we get a little education, we say, those people are going to follow me. They'll listen to me. I'm the president. I'm the senator. I'm the one that knows. You know, they're going to follow me. And in a little while, the blind leading the blind, all of them go into the ditch. And they cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them and hide them from the face of him that really did know what to do. The evangelist says, follow me. I am the one with the big ten and the TV programs and the tractors and the trailers and the money and the income. Follow me. I know how to get the crowd. I'll get you some revivals. Follow me. And so they do. And for the fishes and loaves, they follow him. Like Jesus said, you didn't follow me for the miracles. You followed me for the fishes and the loaves. Said you fed and was filled and decided to do it again. And wanted to make me your king so that I would feed you the fishes and the loaves. Whereas God's good to us to feed us the fishes and the loaves. Should I then make my life such a thing as all I do is worry about my belly and provide for my belly. In that the Bible said all of the labor is for the belly, because the belly craves it of us. In that the Bible says that if you're not born again in walking with God, then are you the generation of vipers? And that God has put you upon your belly, and all of your labors for your belly, because your belly craves it of you. All of your provisions is to make sure that the belly doesn't have any inconvenience. Should I do that? Or should I say no? Belly for the meat and meat for the belly, and they both going to perish, Paul said. And I have some meat to eat that you know not of, and my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And if I overcome, and if you overcome, together we can feed off of the hidden manna. Now, is that what I should do? That's what I should do. So then God said to the prophet, he said, go tell them I don't have any pleasure. I don't have any pleasure in what they're doing. I don't have any pleasure in their ambitions. They've got great businesses, and they've got great projects, and they've got great schools, and they've got great palaces. But hear the voice of them as they say, look what my hands have gotten me. And the Bible said when the king of Babylon began to do that, all of a sudden there came the writing on the wall, as we say, as it was in the sun's day. There upon the wall, meeny, meeny, tickle you farson, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. And the Bible said the vision that Daniel had began to come to pass. Now I want you to think this over for just a few minutes now. Daniel told that king not to do that. He said, king, you are a great king, and God has raised you up into a great and a mighty place. Like he said to King David, he said, I took thee from among the sheep colt, a little old shepherd boy out on the hillside, doing nothing, just sitting out there other than keeping your father's sheep. But I, the Lord God of heaven, looked down upon you, and you found favor in my sight, and I picked you up as a little shepherd boy, and I made you king of Israel, and I've given you a name like unto the great men of the world. I am God. I did that. I put down one and I raise up another. I create the good and evil. I have my way in both. I work all things after my own will. I rule in the affairs of men, God said. I do what I will. God said to Daniel, I've raised this man up to do like that here in Babylon, to be a god in the earth. Daniel said, great and mighty king, said, you keep alive whom you will and you kill whom you will. You do what you want to. But thus saith the Lord, I saw in a vision, he said, thus and thus and thus, O king, if you do not humble your heart, and if you do not come down to men of low estate, and if you don't realize that you're just a human being and all of this greatness is of God, then he said, you're going to go through the fire. I heard a voice say, cut the tree down, let seven times pass over it. No, king, this tree, he said, was you. And then all of a sudden, one day while he was bragging and going through his palaces and all these kind of things, one day there came that crushing experience. And one day there came the powers of Satan down upon him and robbed him. And out he went with the beast. He couldn't even find his way through the palace. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to say because his provisions had been for self. His provisions had been gullible and not for the great God of heaven. So, America, what's wrong? What's wrong with America? What's wrong with Israel? You go into Israel and the hospitals are filled up. You go into America and the hospital and the mental institutions and all of the institutions, the correctional institutions, they're literally filled up and overflowing. And there's so many cases in court that they can't even get all the cases in court. They have to put them one behind another to take 6 months, 8 months, or a year, or 3 years to be able to get to the case where somebody has done wrong. They've got so many cases. They just can't get to them. Where somebody's done wrong, they've had to catalog the thing, had to categorize it, had to put it in a sequence, one behind another, until they could get to the case because they've got so many cases. What's the matter with America? Proud America, lifting her head up. God said to the one that was in the garden, said, Lucifer, I made you a lovely tree. Said, I made you the most beautiful tree in the garden, but you lifted up your head above all the others, he said. And for this, I'll smite you. You didn't give God the glory. You didn't give God the praise. You didn't say, look what God has done. You didn't say, thank you, Jesus, for all of the blessings of life. You didn't say, glory to God, I'm the president, I am the king, because God picked me up from among the sheepcote and made me a great king. You know, you didn't do that. You didn't do that. You got on the throne and you sat there like Saul saying, I'll do this and I'll do that and we'll sacrifice this and we'll sacrifice that. And now, king, you're in trouble. America, you're in trouble. Other kingdoms of the world, you're in trouble because you're indicted for the murder of the Son of God and for killing to the extent that the Bible said all of the blood of the world, even from righteous Abel, shall come down upon you because you are wicked. And I will charge you with that. So then, the kings of the world are about to fall. And the Bible said in the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdoms, and the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. For the saints shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. We already have the kingdom of God within our heart. But He said that we would rise up and take the kingdoms of this world, and the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and we'll move the squatters off of our land. That is to say, we are reaching the terminal point as a nation, as nations, as the world, as the government. We don't like to admit that. We say, well, we've got bums and we've got power and we can fight it through. We can do what we want to. But the Bible said that we cannot stand in the power of arms. The Bible said that the race is not to the swift. Though man might run a race, it is not to the swift, nor is the battle to the strong. But the race belongs to the Lord, and the battle belongs to the Lord, and to whomsoever the Lord gives it to. You read in the Bible how that Solomon raised up over the nations and how he becomes so great, and all of the nations of the earth literally trembled and feared Solomon. You know why they did that? Because Solomon was crying out, oh God, give me wisdom to lead thy people. Oh God, show me the things to say that I might do the right thing as unto the people, to have a nation of peace and a nation of righteousness, a nation where my people can be fed. And God just poured out heaven upon him and opened the floodgates of glory. And then one day Solomon got careless and he got his mind on women and got his mind on riches and got his mind on folly and got his mind on everything but God. He got careless and he began to look around like the king of Babylon. He began to think about all of the great things that he had done, and people from everywhere. Even the queen of Sheba said, Solomon, so great art thou. You excel my kingdom, Solomon. You're so great and so mighty. He said, all of your servants are contented just to sit at your feet and hear your wisdom. And said, your riches and your splendor, your magnificence and your glory. Said, the half of it, Solomon, hasn't been told. Said, when they came to tell me, they came bringing gifts and all of these things, or to let me know, said, the half of it has never yet been told. So God said to Solomon, Solomon, I've give you wealth, I've give you riches. When you go into Canaan, now Israel, God said, beware that when you are fed to the full, when you have all of these things, then beware. When I pull you out of the dungeons, like he did our early forefathers, took them out of the jails when they couldn't pay their debts, out of the dungeons and established this place over here. He said, beware when this happens. He said, beware. He said, don't forget God. I am the one that raised up Babylon. I am the one that raised up America. I am the one that creates the good and the evil. I have my way in both. Don't forget God. Beware, ye that forget God, or I'll tear you into pieces. I'll tear down your house, Solomon. I'll make it a byword, and it won't be a great cathedral anymore. Won't be a great palace anymore. A lot of the men of today, a lot of the evangelists, they've forgotten God. See, they've done like Saul. They've seized upon the corruptible thing. They say, give me an offering. I want $30,000. I want $40,000. I need $1,000,000. Somebody says, what are you doing? We're building an empire. But you can't do it that way. Oh, we can do it that way. We've got supporters. I know, but God doesn't do it that way. Oh, well, you just don't understand. You know, being ignorant and being a backwood fellow, you don't understand, but we know. The king said, we know. And they say, give me another million. And the folks say, why, sure, another million. Why not? After all, we're going to own it anyway. You know, they don't tell you that part, but the conniving, thieving people of today that are out yonder in the world, the Bible said some of them brute beasts made to be taken and burned, they're after it anyway. And you've already struggled and you've already laid the foundation and you've already done the work and you've already went through the travail. And they're just waiting to get their claws into it so that you'll take an offering or something from them, knowing how gullible and wicked that they are. Yet you say, bring it on. And after a while, their claws come down and they own everything that the people of God have striven for. Or labored for. But the big evangelists say, bring it on. I need another TV station. I need another this. I need another that. But God says, away with it. Away with it. The offering of the wicked is the abomination in my sight. Do away with it, he said. I won't have it. And there it was. He said, Saul, don't bring those things. But Saul said, but Lord, I'm going to give you an offering. See, I've got 50 head of cattle. I've added to my flock. And all of this wealth is out here. All we got to do now, God, we just pick it up. Have the men to pick it up. You said kill them folks anyway. And no need of just letting it lay out there, you know, like rubbish. Let us gather this stuff now. Let's be wise, the world says. Let us gather this stuff. After all, somebody said, but that man's a drunkard. And that woman's a harlot. Well, that's all right. See, God loves everybody. Let him drop in his money. He's all right. God understands. Down the way, God will work out something. Say, well, but you don't understand. The man's been married 5 times. That's all right. God will work out something. God knows what to do with it. You just let him come on in our brotherhood now and let him help with this cause. That man makes a lot of money. You got to understand the blessing of the Lord's on him. Well, as the Bible said, supposing that worldly gain is godliness, from such turn away. But nevertheless, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. God gives you the desires of your heart. God makes you to ride upon the high places of the earth. God feeds you with the heritage of Jacob. God gives you eternal life. He does all of those things. He makes your cup to overflow. You don't go lacking for nothing if you follow God. But see, these evangelists have done it, and they've come back, and now they are offering to God the offering of abomination. Their cup is filled with the abomination. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, John saw the great host sitting upon the beast. And that means that the church world now, the church world is a whore to God. All of them committed adultery. They speak lies and they walk after the imagination of their heart. Israel, a type of the church. Thus saith the Lord, the church world has become a harlot. And the beast, that is those that are not Christians, but the beast, and some of them brute beasts, that is the power of regime. That is the great power and authority that's carrying the thing. That's the ones that's carrying it, the beast. They're carrying it, the red devils, as they call them in Indiana. They're carrying it, and the lions, as they call them somewhere else, and the yellow jackets, as they call them down in South Georgia. And the dogs, as they call them in Georgia, here are the local ones around Athens. All of the beasts are carrying them, and God's given them all a name called the beast, that the Christians may understand and all the world may understand that the beasts are carrying the operation. Those that love and make a lie, those that are gullible, the drunkards, the harlot, those that are carousing all night long, doing the evils of this world, while you and I and others that love God are trying to do something for Christ and trying to establish the kingdom of God. Betty and I flew in not too long ago down in South America. Coming into one of the places down there in South America, got inside of the place there at the airport, and everybody was drunk. Everybody was drunk and living it up. I mean, it was one big mess, and we find them half drunk all over the world like that. Whether it's in America or wherever it's at. There's a lot of folks that don't drink whiskeys, drunk all the cares of life. Can't get their minds on nothing for God and nothing spiritual because they're drunk off of the cares of life, buying and selling and getting gain. That's why Jesus turned over the tables in the house of God. That's why he popped the whip. That's why he drove them out. Because of that very thing. But anyway, we came into this place, and as we got into it, there they were drunk. And I was trying to get some sense out of them. It was about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, God, now we've got to make connections. We've got to have places to stay. We've got to be able to take care of the people that are with us. And these people are just crazy in their minds. They don't even know what they're talking about. And you could talk to them, you know, and some of them about half asleep over in the morning and drinking along with it, and you just couldn't get no sense at all out of them. And I tell you, it was a terrible, terrible condition to be in. There you was, you know, and you couldn't speak their language in the sense of really communicating. Somebody said, well, I told them off. You couldn't do no telling off because they wouldn't know what you was talking about, you know. And you're fortunate just to find somebody that would help you. This is why you need a guide when you go into those countries. My wife and I have been in those countries not having a guide, and take people with us and go all over those countries without a guide, and it takes God. But anyway, I said that to say this. The world is drunk. They're drunken off of the cares of life. They are drunk. See, and they're saying, look at us and look at our ball teams and look at us and look at our colleges and look at us and look at our shopping malls and see all the things that we're doing, they said, and we've got money and we've got education. But about that time, the hand began to write upon the wall. The hand began to write upon the wall. And all of a sudden, a plane goes down. And all of a sudden, a war breaks out. And all of a sudden, something happens in the way of another calamity and another calamity and another calamity. And you hear a voice saying, America, wake up. Doomsday is at hand. Wake up. The Bible said when they awoke, they saw his glory. You might not give glory to God, but I tell you, when God gets through with you and you shake yourself and you come out of it and you see like the king did that you've been out with the beast, then you begin to coordinate your efforts toward God and you begin to change your mind toward God. You say, my God, where have I been? It's been like a nightmare. He said, I one time had you in the palaces of God. I one time had you among the brothers and the sisters. But you couldn't be contented. You kept looking back into Egypt. And I told you, any man having put his hand to the plow, looking back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Now, there you are out there with the beast. Out there with the beast. Or that's where you've been. You've been out there with the beast. Brute beast made to be taken and burned. Not all of them brute beasts, but some of them brute beasts. Out there with the beast. I drove you out and put you out there with the beast. That's where the evangelists are, a lot of them. Where are they? Why are they out there with the beast? Let us go, Brother Pike. Don't preach like that. The light of that city is too bright for me. I can't walk in that kind of light, somebody says. Let me get out here in the shadows. And they get out there in the suburban areas, as we say, of the great city of God. When they get out there, the Bible said, all that are without are liars and whoremongers and adulterers and fornicators. All that are without the city and without the gate. And then they get out there with the beast and they build them a big empire. And they think they're really doing the will of God. But all of those things are wrong. And God said, Saul, isn't obedience better than your thoughts? Isn't what I say about it? The word of God, when I sent you the word of God by Samuel saying, thus saith the Lord, and I made you a king. Wasn't my word sufficient, Eve? Wasn't my word sufficient? Why did you listen to another voice? Saul said, but you don't, you know, Samuel, now this is for God. He said, we've got these extra cattle for God. We laid up these extra dollars over here. You know, we're planning to do something for God. Nevertheless, something's already being done for God, and you haven't done anything with what you've got, and yet you're going to do something with what you got, where the Bible said you are a liar. The Bible said he that is faithful over little will be faithful over much, and if you don't share the little that you got, then are you a liar? You're not going to share anything. If you had millions of dollars, you wouldn't share it because you haven't shared what you've already got. See, sharing doesn't depend on how much you've got. Sharing depends on what you are, what kind of nature you've got, what you are made of. Like the little widow that gave her living. But nevertheless, out there in the world, they said, well, we got it. We got it. We are the wise evangelists. Look at all that we've got. Somebody says, we're wise. No, you're not wise, Saul. You're not wise. You have took the corruptible and the cursed things. It's not the things that I added unto you. It's not those things. And let me say this and I'm going to close. It's not the things that I added unto you, Saul. It's what you did out of your own personal ambition. It's what you did, not what I did. Somebody said, look at what God did. God said, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. That's something you did. Now, what have they done? They have offered the offering of abomination. And the Bible says, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, the place it ought not, then shall the end come. God refers to those people as being dogs and swine. And when you go out and bring the corruptible things into the house of God, then you're in trouble. Why didn't you let me add it unto you? See, why didn't you let me add it unto you? I said, I will add it unto you. I know your desire. I'll give you the heart's desire. Yeah, but Lord, you're so slow, somebody says. You know, why do you take too long? I never will forget years ago when those things harassed my mind and I looked at the others and I thought, my God, I better do something. You know, I better do something. I better do something. You know, when Aaron was down there in the valley, they said, do something, do something. But he said, look, Moses is away praying. He's trying to find out what God... I don't know about this man Moses. We want something done. So he said, well, I don't know. The only thing I know to do is take an offering. And so he took an offering. And a big offering. And out of that offering, well, he just began to make pretty things, and Israel was just as contented as they could be. You know, you could hang ear bobs in your ears, and you could have on pretty dresses and nice suits, and you can take a little metal, you know, and mold you a nice automobile or purchase you something real nice, you know, and say, glory to God, God's with us. Told you he's coming riding on a white horse, didn't I? A king, there he is. Praise Aaron, praise Aaron, praise Aaron. And Aaron, he liked that. You know, man like that. Them evangelists, they like that. Somebody said, have you heard brother such and such? Oh, you never heard nothing like it in your life. Said, well, he draws people like Hitler. But anyway, there it is. It's before the people. And Aaron, he liked that. But after a while, there was a rustling in the mulberry tree, and there was a rumbling from the mountainside. Here come that mighty God man walking down that mountain. You know, I know within my heart, when Aaron looked up and saw Moses, he must have been like a leaf shaking in the wind. That's right. You ever seen a leaf just shaking in the wind when a storm comes along? He must have quivered and shook when that great mighty man that hadn't eaten for 80 days, hadn't drank any water, walked down over that mountain and said, what's going on here? Aaron probably come just like that. And the rest of them probably stood and shook too. He said, I hear a shout. He said to the elders and the others, what is this? I hear people shouting and running and jumping. Somebody said, well, that's revival. Don't sound like revival to me, said. So he don't have that sound at all. What does it sound like? Sounds like they're taking an offering. And he come down there and hears a golden calf and them a hollering and a jumping and a running. And he said, what is this? Aaron said, well, I'll throw it in the fire and this is what come out. Read the Bible. That's what he told him. He said, we just throw it in and this is what come out. And that's where the problem is today. They just throw it in. That's what they got out of it. So that's what they got out of it. They just throw it in and that come out of it. Moses said, well, I got a remedy for that. He began to grind it up. He said, now take and swallow some of it down. And he put it in the water and they begin to drink it. And that's what God's going to do. He's going to grind it up for these evangelists. And he's going to put it in the water. That is the people. The Bible said God would make the water bitter like wormwood. And bitter like gall. He's going to pour it into the people. And these people are going to say them cunning, thieving evangelists that call themselves men of God took my home, took all that I've got, and God's going to grind it up and pour it in the water. And they're going to have to swallow it down in bitterness. Like somebody wrote one of them not too long ago, said, I want my offering back. One of the big evangelists. So then it's going to be ground up and it's going to be put in the water. You understand what I'm saying? God said, I don't want your abominable offering. The offering of the wicked is an abomination in my sight. Let them keep it. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and you give to God what belongs to God. I want people that love me. I want people that are godly. I want people that are holy. I want them that bear the vessels of God and name the name of Jesus to depart from the world in iniquity. I want you to come out from among them. I don't need their offering and their substance. I don't need what they've got to do what I'm going to do. I don't need that, God said. I own the silver, the gold, the cattle of 1,000 hills are mine. All of this belongs to me. I don't have to ask them for anything. If I was hungry, I wouldn't ask them to feed me. I'll make you rich. I'll provide for you and add no sorrow. If they want to hold their peace, I'll make the rocks cry out praise to God. You understand what I'm saying? And so the Bible said, you are liars, you are adulterers, you are fornicators. You walk after the imagination of your heart, not after the word of God, and you don't do what I tell you to do. You do it yourself. You collect your own funds. You do your own thing. You don't pray and seek God that God may add these things unto you. And so then the world is in trouble today. The evangelists are in trouble today. The great men are in trouble today. The kings and rich men and whatever, they're in trouble today. Why are they in trouble? Because they didn't do what God told them to do. So then thus saith the Lord. They're in trouble. They've got problems. They won't listen. Folks, here at Bethlehem or wherever around the world, wherever we meet you, talk with you, or others meet you and talk with you, in whatever is being done, the Bible says to do all in the name of Jesus. If I say, Brother Fontaine, repent. If I'm a true minister of God, that's not me speaking, but God. The Bible said it shall not be the minister speaking, but God speaking from within him. God is within the temple. Ye are the temples of God. Let all the world keep silent while God is speaking. I say this so often, it's surely not me speaking. I wouldn't be here if you'd have known me in my early life. You'd have known that this didn't have nothing to do with Brother Pike. This has to do with a new birth. This has to do with God. This has to do with what God wants. That's why I spend my time here. That's why I'm here. God sent me here. Now, so then, you are here to hear the word from God. If I go somewhere and God is speaking, I'm there to hear the word from God. And I've had him to speak to me many times. So then, Brother Fontaine, repent. What will you do? Brother Fontaine says, repent. Because that's what the Bible said. I say, be baptized, Brother Fontaine. What are you going to do? I'm going to be baptized. How, Brother Fontaine? The Bible said to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Because there's remission in none other name, beginning at Jerusalem to the uttermost parts of the earth. This will be preached for remission of sin, the great name of healing, for this healing, salvation, and deliverance in none other name. I'm going to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, Brother Pine. God bless you, Brother Fontaine, for obedience, Saul, is better than sacrifice to Hearken, is better than the fat of all of your rams that you want to offer unto me. All of your wealth, America, all of your wealth across the world. I don't want it, God said, as an abomination. Just to honor me and to obey me, this is what I want. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Why didn't God take the wealth? I might say, my, you're not very wise, Brother Pike. Why didn't God take the wealth? God could have got the wealth. Did you know that I have the ability to take a man's shoes off of his feet through Christ? But did you know when God gets through you, with you and gets a hold of your heart, instead of taking that man's shoes, you'll take your own shoes and you'll give it to somebody else rather than take his shoes. See, what is God doing? Why did God do that? God had to do that for this reason. When he sent Israel out, he said, destroy those heathen and uncircumcised nations. He said, do away with those nations and don't touch nothing they've got. It's an abomination in my sight. All of their wealth, all of their gold. But the man that got the golden wedge said, well, it doesn't mean, you know, you don't really have to be baptized, as we say, in Jesus' name. It just said, be baptized. That don't matter how. And the man said, the commandment came from God, but it doesn't really mean it like that, you know. After all, God, he understands, we got to live, we got to have a living. So he took the golden wedge, and it costed him his life. God had him stoned to death and all of his family stoned to death because he did wrong. Why did God leave the wealth there? First of all, it was an abomination in his sight. Another thing is, he wanted them to know that he wasn't a robber running across the land and killing people because he had the ability that excelled above them, that he wasn't somebody that lorded over them and run out through the land to commit murder and rob them of all of their substance. God left it there as a testimony against them, that they might not be able to look up and say, God did this horrible thing, and that those Israelites is just a bunch of, it's a caravan of thieves. God wanted to give them people a name. Them people of Israel, he wanted them to have a name. Why did he want them to have a name? Because they were to be the head of the nation. He wanted them to leave all of that alone. So people will say, well, there's something going on here. It must be God in those people's lives. Why would man leave that kind of wealth of cattle and all these things? But see, not Saul. He reasoned in his mind, you know, what he could do for God. Let me tell you, folks, you better do what God tells you to do. That's sufficient right there. That's sufficient. There's an old saying, a word to the wise is sufficient. You better do what God wants you to do, and you better get in your calling, and you better understand what God is saying, and to obey God is more than all of the wealth that you're going to heap together to pay your insurance to get you a good casket with when they put you in the ground. Because that's all your labor. You're laboring for one thing, and that's so that you can eventually accumulate. The Bible said to leave it to a fool and let him squander it away. After you're gone, or to pay your funeral expense. That's all it amounts to. Somebody said, but just think of what it'll look like during that time. Okay, the bridge is out. Keep on going. You are a sovereignty. Keep on driving. Go ahead. But anyway, I'm trying to close here and saying this one thing. God did not want them to call him a thief or think he was a thief. God provided for Israel by the labor of their hands. He let them work, let them labor. He let them raise their own crops. He said, you pass through the land of Esau and you don't bother nothing they have. You pay your way. And though the world calls us a thief, yet they're the thieves. Though the world calls the children of God thieves, yet they're the thieves. And the children of God are the only ones that are not thieves. So then on and on it goes, and we see that God hath no glory in them out there because they have no glory and praise and honor to God. How can a man stand up and say, glory to God, look at this beautiful cathedral. Look at this beautiful thing that we've built by faith in God, because they know they didn't build it by faith in God. They didn't build it by faith in God. They went around every place they could, collecting money, selling everything they could, begging dollars, going around to the merchants and everything else. That's the way they built it. God didn't have no glory in it because there was no faith to do it. But brethren, when you don't have anything and you to walk on and you start walking on the water, that is faith. When you don't have anything to give and you give anyway, that is faith. When you can't do it and you do it anyway, that is faith. And people say, my God, that ignorant person couldn't do that. He don't have the ability to do that. That must be God. These are ignorant and unlearned fishermen. But my, listening at the gracious words. So then God is glorified. And God, the invisible God that cannot be seen, is thus made manifest. And people praise God and they see the way of life. And they say, my God, there is hope after all. There is hope after all. There was no way, but I see through that light over yonder that's on the other side of the hill, there is something that can help me. And the heathens come a-running, and they find God revealed to them. And God saves his creation by making you a light and shining forth through you. And thus he gives you riches and power and glory and splendor, magnificence and eternal life and all these wonderful things because you gave yourself to him. For his service, losing your life in this world that you may gain it in the world to come. Okay, let's stand together. Somebody says, Brother Pike, you're beside yourself. They said, Paul, you're crazy. You lost your mind. I said, well, if I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself for the Lord. Like the song says, if this is a dream, friend, just let me dream on. If this is a dream, because I'm dreaming of a world that's eternal. And I'm dreaming of a God that cares. And I'm dreaming of a place of benefits and security to where there'll be no more problems. No more hungry little children. No more wretched things of life like the evil escapade that just took place over in the Griffin area. No more evil tyrants to interfere and cause us problems. If this is a dream, friend, then let me dream on. I'm happy
For I'm contented in believing, as the song said, that there is a God and there is a place of rest and peace and hope. If this is a dream, the writer said, just let me dream on. Because I'm happy. Don't wake me. Just let me dream on. So, here we are, folks. Another service, another day. Tomorrow's another work day. To either labor for the belly or to labor for God. And here we are, another day. Another service, another sermon, another exhortation. Now, I wanted to get into some revelation tonight. I've had some revelation that I'd like to brought forth. As a matter of fact, I'd love to speak to you sometimes on a little subject called the rhythm of life, or living rhythm. But I felt to exhort you, this is what the Lord gave me to exhort you with. And I know for sure, we watch the moving of the Spirit, and we know many times, unless God hides it from us, who God is speaking to and what He's speaking about, what He wants to do. Now, nobody else don't know this unless God revealed it to them. But me and you know this, and that is, there is a person tonight that God spoke to, a person that was very overconfident, a person that was positive that they knew and that they understood, and that Brother Pike wasn't too sure about what he understood, though they had confidence in him. They still wasn't too sure. There's still plenty of time to find out whether or not he was wrong, but now they know he's not wrong, because in their heart they became convicted. In their heart they understood something, as if to say, my God, I'm the one that's in shame. I'm the one that's missed it, they said. I'm the one that needs to get straightened out. I'm here to learn. I'm here to hear. I'm here to see. I'm here to find my way. And I'm here realizing, God, have mercy on me. I better get in my calling. I better find out something. I have been blind. And oh my God, I am waking up. This is happening, folks. There's people like that, They're so sure that they know. They're so sure that they know that they won't listen to anybody else. We're living in that day when no one has the answer as far as everyone else is concerned. They are a human being. They've got the answer. They know. And I agree with that. Who is he that I should listen, or who is she that she should tell me or you? But after all, there is a God. And that God has spoken to men and people down through the years, and that God is still speaking. And there is a voice that is an absolute in the earth. There is something that is right. There are some that know because they have been with the Lord. And the Bible said, though ignorant fishermen, they took notice that they had been with the Lord. So you need to listen. There is an answer. Like the song we wrote, Christ is the answer. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Remember, one of these days you won't be hearing the preacher anymore. One of these days you'll be standing there before God. One of these days, if Jesus tarries, you'll be laying out there in the cold soil. There in the ground, looking up like that toward your Maker, waiting for Him to break from the heavens. You won't be looking anywhere else. You won't have time. Today we don't have time to do things, We're real busy. But you'll have plenty of time just to lay there 24 hours around the clock and look in His direction. You won't do nothing but just look in His direction, waiting for that final moment. One of these days, your life and my life will be over. See, everything will be gone. You'll be there and I'll be there. We'll be there. Jesus will be there. The prophets will be there. Mary will be there. Elizabeth will be there. John the Baptist, Abraham, Enoch, Elijah, Antichrist. All of them will be there. The false prophets, the true prophets, the right kind of preachers and evangelists, the wrong kind. And then we'll hear what He's got to say about it. We'll find out what He thinks about it then. In other words, when He looks at us, we'll find out whether it was me that was wrong or them that was wrong. Or whether it was you that was wrong or them that was wrong. You'll find out whether it was you or them. Won't be no
dispute over it and question about it, then you'll know for sure. Seeing that day is close at hand. So the thought is this, knowing this, you know it. The Bible said, you that know the right things, knowing this, you went and done the very same things that you knew that they were going to be punished for in that they did them. Knowing this, the Bible said, you went on and did it. The latter end is worse with you than the beginning because you did it willfully. They did it in ignorance and didn't know. And you did it knowing better than to do it. To willfully sin, that is to violate the word of God and the principles of his request as Eve did. That is sin. To violate his request is sin, folks. And the Bible said, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. His word is good. He tells you what to do. You do it not, he said, that is sin. That is transgression. That is unbelief, which is sin against God. And the Bible said, when you do that, you sin against God. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Is not obedience better than sacrifice, and to hearken unto God better than the fat of rams? Are we to offer the abominable thing to God? God doesn't want the abominable thing. He doesn't want it. He doesn't need the offering of the wicked. He doesn't hear the prayer of the wicked. He said that their prayers are abomination in my sight. I don't hear the prayer of the sinner. He said, well, how are them people going to be saved, Brother Pike? The Bible said that ye are a royal priesthood to pray for them, that God would grant repentance unto them. For you pray that God will grant repentance unto them that are without, to your children and to others. For ye are the body of Jesus Christ, members in particular, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Ye are in his stead. While he is gone, you are instead of him, beseeching the world to be reconciled unto Christ. Thus God ministered through you to them as he did through Jesus to them while Jesus was in this world. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and will sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel God. I always do when I come up here. I feel the wonderful presence of God. I feel that great, wonderful stimulation of Christ. The quickening that raised up Jesus from the dead. That thing that makes me excited over preaching the gospel and telling the wonderful things of Jesus. That thing that makes you run and dance and jump and holler. Having a good time in Jesus. Having a good time in Jesus. I feel that quickening. I guess it's about 3-4 o'clock this morning. There we were talking about God and talking about the good things of God. And some of the brethren, they got real quiet. And they began to feel something. And they knew something had come into the room. And they were standing there in their spirits. And all, you know, standing there. And they began to comment. Because you could feel him, you know, as he came in. We began to talk about him. And wherever you talk about him, he appears in your midst. Like he did on the way to Emmaus when they talk about him. The Bible said he appeared in their midst and began to expound the scriptures and open the scriptures to them. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened our understanding by the way? And there we stood over in the morning, and there come Jesus. And all of a sudden into the room he came. And you could feel him just like, you know, something. He went, whew. And there he stood. And there we stood. And you could feel the vibrance, you know. You could feel that wonderful rhythm of life. You could feel the vibration of the Holy One, you know, up and down, just up and down your arms, your spine and through your body, just going like that, you know, like bees going. You know how bees will just buzz, you know, and make a sound all around you while they make their honey and while they're gathering, you know. Here he stood.
the angelic beings around him, you know, and the buzzing of the wings, as you would say. And there was just that wonderful feeling, just that great state of ecstasy, as it was on the day of Pentecost when the Bible said that he came like a mighty rushing wind and just shook the building. And filled them with the Holy Ghost. That is the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost. He filled them with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ. He filled them with the wonderful Spirit of Christ. And they overflowed on the day of Pentecost with his wonderful love and his wonderful glory. And there he was over in the morning standing there, and everybody knew it. I knew it and they knew it. We all knew it. He was standing there. And you could feel that same thing that happened to Enoch. You know, you could feel it. There's one little thing, and away you'd go. Away you would go. You could feel that whirlwind. Like the vision I had one time. The whirlwind came down. I saw it come moving along and come over to where I was. And as it moved over to me, I went right over in the middle of it. And all of a sudden, up and up and up in the whirlwind I went. Way up in the whirlwind, I was waving bye to all of my loved ones and all the people. Way up in the whirlwind, I was waving by because I was going up, up, up. See, God wants to catch us away with him. Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell, but I know if somebody was caught up into the third heavens. Ezekiel picked up out of one place, carried over to the valley of dry bones, transported by the magnificence of God. The wonderfulness of God, transported and taken over by God. Isn't that wonderful? You don't know the privilege that you've got. You don't know who you are. You don't know the power in your life. You don't know the glory and magnificence of being a son or daughter of God. You don't know. And you trade it for the beggarly elements of this world, the frivolous things of this world. Paul said, desiring, or do you desire? Who has bewitched you that ye should desire in the wrong direction? That is to be under bondage to the beggarly elements of this world. To be there entangled again after you've been delivered from it. Is not the latter end worse than the beginning? Been better for you've never known the way. You always had hope if you didn't know the way, you could come to the way. But once having known, then turning and going back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God anymore. Because you look back into Egypt. Having turned back into the things of the world and went back into the things of the world, having heard him say, if the love of the world and desire of the things of the world is in your heart, then the love and desire of God in heavenly things is not there. Knowing this, and knowing these that do this are punished, yet you continued and done the same thing. So then knowing this, you found yourself in a complex. You've looked back in the world. You've turned back into Egypt in your heart. Many of them that he brought out of Egypt, he was not well pleased with. For the Bible said they turned back into Egypt in their heart. You do walk after the imagination of your own heart. And because of that, I'll feed you the gall of bitterness. I'll feed you with wormwood. Paul said to the man, thou art in the gall of bitterness. And your heart is not right with God because you are in the bonds of iniquity. Do you therefore desire to be in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world? You want to give your life and spirit and thoughts, your deeds, your ambitions to the perishable side of things? If you do, you'll sow all of your life and time as the prodigal to the world and to the corruptible side of life, and you'll reap the corruptible things, because he that sows to the flesh shall of the world reap those things. That is, if he sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption, which means corruptible things, things that will perish. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. They that be of the world will perish with the world. But you're not of the world. I've chosen you out of the world. Hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, unto the time of the restoring, the restitution, even the millennium. Ye are children that dwell in heaven. Ye are children of God. We should rejoice, therefore, because we are in heaven and we are children of God. Rejoice, ye that are in heaven, sitting together in the heavenly places. For God hath, concerning your spirit, your inner man, your angelic being, your life that leaves the body cold and still when it departs, in that the flesh profiteth nothing. God hath taken your life, your spirit, translated it. He hath translated it into the marvelous kingdom of God, and you are in the kingdom of the Spirit within your inner man. And God has set up the kingdom of God or of his Christ within your heart. For the kingdom of God is within you. Christ is the kingdom of God. And he has received your spirit through the blood atonement into his spirit, that it might be precious and preserved in the sight of God, even as Noah received the people into the ark, which was a type of what happened at Calvary. When the wrath of God was poured out upon the world at Calvary, at that time, you and I, by foreknowledge of God, was hid in the body of the Son of God. The ark of Noah, this is as the waters of Noah to me, he said. And the wrath of God upon that body couldn't touch you and I, because he died to take away my sins. He that knew no sin was made sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hid with Christ in God. So we're in his body tonight, baptized into the church, his body as a member. One spirit, even the spirit of Christ, his spirit, his life has made us a member of his body. Whether an arm, whether a leg, whatever, he likens it unto the physical to show us his bodily functioning in the earth. He's the head of the church, which is his body, even his bride. You're a member. You become one of those members by the life that lives in his body, just as your member is by the life that lives in your body. So then we are baptized into the body as a member, which is called the church. By one spirit are you baptized into the body, that is into the church. Not a natural baptism, which is a symbol for the world, but a spiritual thing. If you have not my spirit, you are none of mine. You're not my body. You're not my life. You're not my members. If a person has not your spirit, they're none of you. But if your members have your spirit, then are they of you. Okay, let's just bow our heads and lift our hands up for just a moment. Another day, another sermon, another exaltation. Where will you be? They sang that song, where will you be a million years from now? Will you be praying? Will you be singing? Where will you be a million years from now? Now, I remember another song I heard somebody sing it. I love to hear the sounds or the songs from way back home. Amazing grace, the sweetest sounds my ears have ever heard. You know, you really don't know and understand till you get out into the land of Babylon, the world of confusion. And you get away from the saints of God, and you get away from the house of God, you get away from the children of God, and then you hang your harp on the willow, and you can't sing the songs of Zion because you're heavy in heart. The inspiration is gone. You just can't sing those lovely songs of victory like the sun's coming up in the morning. I battled with Satan all day long, the songwriter said, but the sun is coming up in the morning. Then I'll shout the victory cry. He said that if we didn't love him, he'd hate our image in the morning and the sun wouldn't come up for us. But you don't know till you get away out there, and then somebody comes along and all of a sudden, just for a spellbound moment, you hear somebody say something and you say, oh my God, I remember the songs back home. I remember Amazing Grace and Love's old story. The sweetest sounds my ears have ever heard. Oh, the writer said, how alone to hear the songs from way back home. I remember another song somebody wrote, a boy that was in prison. Going to the electric chair, he committed murder. A young fellow got caught in the web, dope, whiskey, whatever. He committed murder. There was another boy in there that was a friend of his that played the guitar, and I'm sure you've heard the song. And the question was asked, what is your last request before you walk the last mile of the way? Many boy has done it. Many person not listening has walked down that lonely, lonely path to the electric chair. All because mother didn't care and daddy didn't care enough to pray and seek God
or because the devil took advantage of them above mom and dad's prayers and instruction and that they wouldn't listen with no one to help. And the question was asked, what would be your last request? He said, I got one request. And as the songwriter put it, let my guitar playing friends sing me back home. Sing me back home. You don't miss home till you get away from it. You know, when you're young and running around, somebody says, let's go home. Yeah, you can go home and you can't go nowhere else. But one of these days, mother leaves. And she goes on a long, long journey. Going down the trail of time all of those years, finally it comes to an end. She crosses a great barrier and she slips over the Jordan and she's on her way home then. Daddy slips away. The family's broken up and brothers one place, sisters another. See, it's not like you thought. Somebody said, let's go home. You could go home when you can't go anywhere else. But you go back home and there is no home. You go back to the old home place. But it don't look the same. See, because the fascination of the old home place, it wasn't the home place. It was mama and daddy. It was brother and sister. That's what made it the home place. See, and you are a wanderer after that. You are a wanderer. All you do is wander then. Because you're ever looking for that which satisfies that spirit again. Searching, never to find it anymore, never. Until you cross over the river and find out where mama went. Jesus walked with the disciples, and he was so precious to them. He fed them when they were hungry. He healed them when they were sick. He provided for them. He was with them for years. He was a comfort. They loved him. He was a consolation. One day, he slipped away from them and he left. He left them. And all of a sudden, when they found out he was leaving, they became very alarmed. And they were all tense and torn up. And they said, where are you going? He said, where I'm going, you can't come right now. But you can come later. He said, you can follow me. I'm going to prepare a place, he said. I've been with you, and I'm going to prepare a place for you and those that love me. And if I go, I'll be back again. You can trust me. I'll be back. They knew they could trust him because they'd been with him all that time. They knew he'd never betrayed them. So I'll be back. But before I come, I'm going to prepare a place. I don't like this place. I don't like the way they do. They put the nails in your hands and the thorns on your head and they beat your back and they steal from you and they criticize and they mock you. Doing it to the least of these, he said, they did it to me. He said, the world will hate you. They'll deliver you up. They'll persecute you. You'll be brought before the magistrates for my name's sake and a testimony against them. They'll be guilty when they come before the supreme courts of justice and the high courts of God. I'll bring them before the courts one day. All these that have pulled you before the courts. I've got a courtroom. I've got a court day. They'll come. They'll be summons. I've sent them the summons. They'll be there. But Jesus said, I got to go. And they said to him, where are you going? He said, well, you can come. But we don't know the way. He said, Lord, we don't know the way. How can we come over where you're going? You know, if you tell us the way, you've always led the way. You always told us the way. He looked at him. He said, I'm the way. I'm the way. Just remember. Don't forget. I'm the way. The life I lived before you. The things I did. The things I said. The way I exhorted you. The way that it was placed before you, I'm the way, Jesus said. Remember that now. Just remember that I'm the way. So it is. There is a door open in heaven, Revelation 4, and the way has been made. Even as Shepherd opened the heavens in a type of it in the age we're living in. It's at hand. The door is now open in heaven. The way is made. And the voice is calling, and the voice of the turtle is heard in the land. Solomon spoke of it of that day when the voice of the turtle is heard in the land, cooing to its mate. I can hear the voice of the turtle dove, cooing to its mate. The poppies are showing their faces. The poppies, the people are springing up now. They're coming forth. They're beginning to realize. We led Brother Walden into baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus, baptized him. I heard the other day that a minister down the way that he led him into it and baptized 30 people, or that is the minister did, in the name of the Lord. Went to India and led a man to the right thing and led some people to the right thing and opened a man's eyes. And the man wrote back and said, we baptized, I believe it over there, it was 30 people. See, doing your little bit, just give Jesus your fishes and loaves. That's all he wants, and he'll take care of it. Now, while they're playing on the organ for just a minute, I want you to just lift your hands up with me. If you want to come to the altar, you can do that. That's all right, whatever you'd like to do. But I want you to lift your hands up. Now, just lift your hands up with me. And don't forget, folks, Jesus said, I'm the way. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I don't know. I'm tired. I don't know. I'm tired. I just don't know. There's so many people, so many preachers, so many things are being said. I just don't know. What can I do? Jesus said, don't forget now, I'm the way. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the truth. I'm the door to the sheepfold. My sheep know my voice. They know my voice. Can you deny that you know the voice of God? Can you deny that you've heard the voice of God? You say, but Brother Pike, other people didn't do that. I know it. It wasn't required of other people because they didn't know. To whom much is given, much is required. To him that knoweth to do and doeth it not, it is sin. If you've heard it, then it is required of you. If you know it, then it's required of you. And greater the reward, because the more that was given in that ye did what ye was told, the greater the reward. Shall I then lose part of my reward by trying to procrastinate and do what somebody else did that never come to this wonderful, glorious light? Would not they have come and honored and obeyed had they come to this light? Wouldn't they have done it? Sure, had they known, they would have done it. Why shouldn't you then do it? Somebody says, but my grandmother didn't do that, Brother Pike. My granddad didn't do that. But see, what's that got to do with it? The Bible said knowledge shall increase. Light shall appear at the evening time. It wasn't required of them in that they didn't know. All that God gave them was required. A little afflicted child that don't know much, though he lived to be 70 years old, if he don't get his understanding open, God doesn't require it. Because he doesn't know. God didn't give it to him. Like the writer said, if just a cup of water I place within your hand, then a cup of water, that's all that I'll demand. Just be faithful. Just be faithful, weary pilgrim. So, I know, I've heard, I understand, I must obey. I must honor and I must obey. You must do the same thing. While you've got your heads bowed and your hands lifted, if there's anything lacking in your life, if there's something you haven't done, now's the time to do it, folks. The Bible said today is the accepted time. This is the hour of deliverance and salvation. The bride says, come. The church, that is. The bridegroom says, come. The voice of God through the minister. The Bible said, let whosoever will go after the world, the carnal mind. Let whosoever will come. But whatever it be,
God requires it. God requires it. Then the question arises, can I go to heaven, Brother Pike, and not be like Jesus? No. No. You cannot go to heaven unless you're like Jesus. Christian means to be Christ-like. Christ-like means to be like Jesus. While they've got their hands up, their heads bowed, and their hearts reasoning with Jesus, I want to ask you this question. We're going to let you go. Are you doing anything for the Lord? Somebody says, but I'm a Christian, Brother Pike. What has that got to do with it, I say so often? What has that got to do with it, saying I'm a Christian? Does that mean anything? Don't people do that all over the world? I've talked to men that drink, give themselves to frolics. I say, do you believe God? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. That don't mean nothing, folks. The question I'm asking is, do you have His Spirit? You say, but I am a believer. Paul said, have you received His Spirit since you started believing? I preached that sermon the other night. You can get into Mexico by a tourist card, but you can't get into the interior unless you have your credentials. You've got to have papers. You can get into this religious world by climbing up another way. That is, you might believe coming on in, but if you don't have His Spirit, you can't get into the interior. You can't get past the checkpoint, as I preached the other night. You've got to have your credentials. You've got to show your identity. And that identity has to be in harmony with the government of the city that you're approaching or the country. We've lost our identity in death, sin, that we might be identified with Him in the resurrection and glory, that we might be of His Spirit, members of His body in particular, that at the checkpoint we might show our credentials, identify ourselves, and let them know that we are a citizen of that country, that we have honored and obeyed that government, that we've just been on a visit to another place. We've been out of the country for a while. I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. We've just been straying around, and now we're returning to our homeland. How alone to hear the songs from way back home. We're returning now, returning back to our homeland. The church has been wandering around for years, but we're returning now. Beginning to see, we're beginning to understand. Let us go up to the house of the Lord and have Him to teach us of our way, His ways. For all nations have forgotten God. All nations shall flow to the house of God, saying, teach us. Now we see, now we understand. Ask for the old paths and walk therein. You'll find rest. This is what's been taught ever since God established the church, all down through the years. Though it's been fought and criticized, yet it's true. It's the homeland. It's the homeland. Another writer said, is that the shores of home I see? It is, folks. It really is. We are beginning to see the lights of that city, as another writer said. We're beginning to see the homeland. We're beginning to see. It's beginning to come into view. A little sign here says you're approaching a certain city. A little sign says a certain country. Not far now, just straight ahead. Keep on going. Not far. While you're thinking upon these wonderful things of God, can you hear Him? Can you hear the voice of the turtle? I hear it. You know His voice. You know His voice. If you're His sheep, you're not going to follow a stranger. You know His voice. Satan is a stranger, a thief. Do you know the voice? David, did you follow a stranger? Did you hear the voice? Strangers they will not follow. There is a voice. Precious Heavenly Father, if there is anything, my Father, that is unlike Jesus, no matter what, may it never overshadow my life. May it never come near me, Lord. For I am contented to love Thee and to be with Thee. May my thoughts be holy. May I be godly over my thoughts with a jealous jealousy of God, a godly jealousy. Oh, Lord, help my people. Let not evil come nigh their dwelling. You said, Father, that evil would never come nigh their dwelling. You'd give them power over all the powers of the enemy. And they would keep themselves, and the evil one would never touch them. Oh, God, the blessing that you granted unto them even a few nights ago. For I do bless them in the name of the Lord. For they are the sheep of your pasture. And, Father, can anyone curse what you have blessed? You prayed for these, Jesus, that they be blessed. Oh, Lord, that where you are, that they may be also, beholding your glory in that day of what you have graciously done for them. Heal them and save them and forgive them. And lead them into that wonderful world, my Father. Keep them. Keep them. As you prayed, they're not of the world. I do not ask that they be taken out of the world, but rather that you keep them from the evils of the world, Father. I ask you to bless them. Let's sing this little chorus just before we dismiss. Well, I looked across Jordan, and what did I see? Coming to carry me home, band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home.